Sa ating mga inaral noong mga nakaraan, nakita natin na si Jesus ay ipinamalas ang kanyang otoridad. Ipinamalas siyang otoridad niya bilang mangangaral. Ipinamalas ang otoridad sa laban sa mga masasamang espirito, sakit, magpatawad ng kasalanan, kamatayan, and even nature. Dumadami ang mga tagasunod ni Jesus or followers. People wanted to be healed. They want to hear yung preaching ni Jesus Christ. They want to be with Him kung saan siya magpunta. That's why crowds of people follow Him. But at the same time, nagiging popular, marami rin siya mga haters actually. Mga Pharisees and mga scribes, they follow Him just to look for areas na pwede nilang i-accuse against kay Jesus. Nakita natin last week na ang mga disciples ay nakatanggap ng revelation mula sa Diyos na humantong sa confession that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah, the anointed King, isang turning point sa buhay ng mga disciples. Bagamat tama ang confession ng kanilang naibigkas, mali pa din ang pagkakaunawa nila ng kanyang messiahship. Kaya Jesus corrected their vision by saying that the Son of Man will suffer many things, He will be rejected, He will suffer, and He will be killed. Para sa isang first century Jew, kagaya natin na pag-usapan katulad ng mga disciples, hindi nila gusto madinig yon. Hindi yon yung kilala nilang Jewish Messiah. Kasi ang Jewish Messiah na kanilang kilala is not a suffering Messiah, but a conquering Messiah. So ang pre-present ni Jesus sa disciples na itong Messiah na to will suffer. So yun po. Para sa mga disciples, isa tong iskandalo. Hindi tama to. And Jesus even added that those who follow the suffering Messiah will face suffering and hardships themselves. Just imagine kung gaano ka-disappointed ang mga disciples. Just imagine how namumuo yung disbelief and fear and confusion ang mga mamang ito. Paano sila magpapatuloy sa ganitong klaseng katotohanan? Paano sila magpapatuloy papunta sa Jerusalem na kung saan sentro ng oppression and violence labang kay Jesus? Paano? Sa passage natin ngayong gabi, God will reveal to them a glimpse of His glory and remind them of their continued reliance sa Kanya. Followers of Jesus, how about you? Kung tayo po ay nagsastruggles with unbelief, with disappointments, with fears and confusion sa ating pananampalataya, paano tayo haharap sa opresyon at oposisyon laban sa ating pananampalataya? Kung tayo ay may pagdududa, kung tayo po ay nag-aalanganin. So paano? Well, here's yung point. A follower of Jesus constantly looks to all, to, and relies on Christ all the time. Let me say that again. A follower of Jesus constantly looks to and relies on Christ all the time. Itong passage na binasa kanina Ate Jovi, sorry. Ay nahati sa dalawang punto. Number one, a revelation of the glory of Christ, verses 2 hanggang 13. And number two, a reminder of continued reliance to Christ, verses 14 to 29. Dalawang point lang po tayong gabi. Number one, a revelation of the glory of Christ, verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So ano after 6 days dito? Ito after 6 days ng confession ni Peter na si Jesus ay yung Messiah. Ito yung 6 days after na sinabi ni Jesus Christ, yung Messiah na binanggit mo will suffer. So yun po yun. Dinala ni Jesus ang tatlong mga mamang ito, isa sa mataas na bundok that many believe to be Mount Hermon. Of course, nobody can affirm kung yun talaga yun, pero yun ang pinakamalapit po sa Caesarea Philippi. So about a few kilometers away, so they assume na ito yung pinakamataas na mountain. So yung Mount Hermon probably doon dinala ni Jesus Christ yung kanyang tatlong main disciples, yung inner men na tinatawag. Hindi po accidental na dinala ni Jesus yung tatlong disciples sa ito sa isang bundok. Sa Old Testament po, when God reveals His glory, Kadalasan, dinadala niya ang kanyang mga lingkod sa bundok, kagayang po ni Moses. Sa Mount Sinai siya dinala. He revealed His glory by giving the law or the Ten Commandments. Ganon din kay Elijah. He asked Elijah to stand on the mountain and then he witnessed yung power ng glory ng Panginoon. So, ang pagdala ni Jesus sa tatlong disciples dito, he was alluding to them to something. He's trying to connect something from the past that's happening in the present and that we'll be seeing in the future. Since their vision or understanding patungkol sa Messiahship niya needed correcting, Jesus set them up to witness three things. Three important things. Number one, and this is a sub-point ng number one, a visible transformation of Jesus. A visible transformation of Jesus. Tingnan niyo po yung second part ng verse 2 hanggang verse 3. And He was transfigured before them, and His clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. Then His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. Without warning, yung term na ginamit dito sa Bible ay nag-transfigure si Jesus. Ang word na transfiguration literally means metamorphosis from the word metamorpho, which means to change of form, or a change of form, or transform. Ang pagkakilala nila kay Jesus na humble and compassionate na mana, biglang nagbago, biglang nagtransform, nagbago ng anyo sa harapan nila. Sabi sa parallel passage sa Matthew chapter 17 verse 2, which is nabanggit din istorya na ito, His face shone like the sun. So ibig sabihin, parang ang hirap makita, nagsumisinag yung muka, yung araw. Parang araw yung sa kanyang muka pag tinititigan. And His clothes became white as light. Sabi rin ng isa pang parallel passage sa Luke chapter 9, verse 29, The appearance of His face was altered, na iba, and His clothing became dazzling white. Nagniningning ang kanyang kasuotan, ang pagkakalarawan pa ni Mark, ay tila baga ay walang tao sa mundo ang pwedeng magkusot o maglaba ng ganitong kapute. Mothers probably can relate dito sa mga mantsa ng mga puting damit na napakahirap po magkusot, napakahirap magtanggal ng mantsa. So ito ang binabi niya dito is, walang kayang magkusot, walang kayang magbabad na ganyang kalalabasan, na ganyang kaputi. Dito po pumapasok, na bakit ganun yung pagkakasabi ni Mark, no? Dito po pumapasok yung limitation ng language. Limitation ng language. Hindi niya ma-express ang kanyang nawi-witness. Hindi niya ma-express into words yung kanyang nakikita. He couldn't find the words to express what He was witnessing. Jesus was unveiled sa harapan nila. They were witnessing not a just a man, but a heavenly being, a deity, a God, the glory of Christ. This was a brief glimpse of God's glory, a preview, patikim ng kanyang tunay na anyo. Kasi He was clothed in humanity. And from that moment, nung tinanggal yung veil na yon, nakita yung tunay niyang nature or identity. Peter, James, and John had witnessed it. This points back sa sinasabi ni Jesus sa kanila sa 6 days ago, sa chapter 9, verse 1. Sabi ni Jesus sa kanila, Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. What they are witnessing, friends, is the power of the glory of God. Na ultimo tayo ngayon, we can probably never describe kapag nakita natin sa panahon natin ngayon. They have entered the glory of Christ. Ito ang fulfillment ng verse na ito. For a brief moment, they have witnessed the glory and majesty of Jesus. This should change the way they view about His identity. This should fill them with encouragement at saka confidence kay Jesus, hindi ba? Friends, one day we too shall see Christ's glory sa kanyang second coming. He will be triumphant and will make things right. Sa pagbalik ni Jesus Christ, He is the judge. Lahat ng mga injustices na experiences natin, lahat ng mga fallenness, kasalanan, sakit, sakuna, trahedya, gagawin niyang tama sa pagbalik niya. This should encourage us. This should strengthen us magpatuloy sa pananampalataya. So there was a visible transformation. Second sub-point, there were also visitors. May bisitang dumalaw kay Jesus. Sino yung mga to? Verse 4. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Sa kalagitnaan ng pagniningning ni Jesus, biglang sumulpot si Elijah at saka si Moses. Hindi nabanggit kung paano nakilala ni Peter yung dalawang Old Testament characters na ito. Actually, I was doing a research. Paano niya nalaman na si Elijah at Moses yun? We don't know. It doesn't say. The accounts do not explain it. Pero they know. Okay? Pero sa pagsulpot ng dalawa, it says a lot about Jesus and his messiahship. Elijah is a great prophet, tapos si Moses naman is yung mighty in word at saka deed. Pero ano nangyayari dito? Di ba si Elijah ay kinuha ng chariots of fire ng Old Testament, and from there hindi na siya bumalik? Kumbaga hindi siya nakatikim ng kamatayan? And that was around 700 years ago. At eto naman to si Moses, na kung saan a mighty man of God na pinakawalan yung mga Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, biglang namatay na rin siya. That was around 1,400 years ago. So in short, daan-daan taon ng patay itong mga ito. Anong ginagawa nila rito? Itong dalawang propeta na ito represented the law and the prophets. And both point to the Messiah ayon sa Malachi chapter 4. So this is very symbolic. Ang pagpapakita ng dalawang propeta ay nagsasagisag ng law at saka prophets are being fulfilled in the coming Messiah. Na ano ba yung laws at saka prophets? In short, lahat ng Old Testament prophecies, ang pag-observe ng law or Ten Commandments, yung covenant, pag-obey ng covenant, yung temple, sacrificial rituals, observance ng festivities, ay lahat were perfectly fulfilled into one man. At ito po ay si Jesus. It was fulfilled by Jesus. At sa paanong paraan na-fulfill ni Jesus to? Well, one, it's in his living. He lived a perfect life. Pero dito, mapapansin din natin yung pinag-usapan nila, ilang tatlo. Teka, Pastor, wala ata rito sa Mark chapter 9 yung pinag-usapan ng tatlo. Ah. Totoo po yan. Kaya nga, we praise God sa ibang accounts. Kasi makikita ito sa Luke chapter 9, verse 30, at saka 31, yung kanilang pinag-usapan. Ito ang kanilang pinag-usapan. Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his, si Jesus to, departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Yun ang pinag-usapan nila. They talked about Jesus' death. They were talking about Jesus, yung literal translation is Exodus. Yung Exodus ni Jesus. Ito ang translation ng departure. Just as Moses led the people of Israel out from the slavery of Pharaoh and became new people, because they are now free people, Jesus will also lead his people out from another slavery, and that is slavery to sin. And by dying on the cross, making them a new creation, putting them together as a new people, which is the church. Yun yung gagawin ng Messiah na to. Jesus said after his resurrection, sa Luke chapter 24, verse 44, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he had fulfilled it. Confronted by Jesus' shining glory, natakot ang mga disciples. Sabi ni John, nung matanda na siya, sinulat niya yung Book of Revelation. Ito ang kanyang reflections nung matanda na siya sa Revelation 1:17. When I saw him, si Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. Yun ang itsura ng mga disciples nung nakita nila yung manifest glory ni Jesus. Bumagsak sila sa takot at hindi makagalaw. That's in the presence of the Holy God, which makes sense. The prophets of old, Diba? When they saw Christ, they can't talk, they feel unworthy, hindi sila makagalaw. Yun yung presensya, hindi lamang ng glory ng Panginoon, kung isang nilalang na banal. Malamang hindi ka pa na nakakatayo sa harapan ng isang nilalang na banal, hindi ba? Malamang siguro, banal-banalan, pero hindi yung tunay na banal. Sa takot ni Peter, nataranta siya at kung ano-ano pinagsasabi. Okay? We all know, sa mga nabasa natin, naral natin si Peter, yung tao na kung saan na reactive, no? Impulsive, kumbaga. Kung anong makita, kung anong mangyari, Jesus, walang makakakuha sa iyo, nandito hanggat mamatay ako. Tapos pinutol niya yung tenga ng isang alipin. So, ito yung mama na kung saan, na pag sinabi mong talon, talon, mamaya na mag-iisip. Pag napilayan na, okay? Pag may sinabi siyang mga bagay na kung saan na gusto niya lang sabihin, nakakatawa, or compelling, or compassionate, mamaya na siya magsisisi kung ano sa mga sinabi. Ito yung tamang tipong mama na to. So, nung nakita niya si Jesus at saka yung mga prophets, he had this feeling na kailangan niya magsalita. Have you ever been in that situation? Nagkakakwentuhan kayo, first time niyo magkakilala, parang there's this urge, awkward silence, kailangan may sabihin ako, tapos may nasabi ka, tapos hindi pa maganda yung pagkakatawin, tapos nagsisisi ka, ba't yung sinabi yun? Eto yun. Kaso etong mamang ito, hindi mo mapigilan ang dila nito eh. Di ba? He offered to make 3 tents for them. Peter was implying, ay, Jesus, may bisita pala tayo. Magagawa ko 10 kay Moses at kay Elijah. At isa rin sa'yo. So, ano yung sinasabi? Bagamat hindi siguro alam ni Peter ito, but what he's trying to do is this. Peter was implying the equality ng tatlong ito. In short, he views Jesus as one of the prophets. Pero dun palang mali na naman ang nasa isip ni Peter. Again, Peter represents the disciples. Yun din ang kanilang nasa isip. Kasi si Jesus is more than a prophet. So he was rebuked. Who rebuked Peter? Well, a voice rebuked him, which is yung third. Third sub-point, a voice that spoke from heaven. Sabi sa verse 7, and a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. This kind of reminds you of Mark chapter 1, verse 11, on baptism in Jesus Christ. No, nung narinig yung voice from heaven, this is my son, my only son, whom I am well pleased. So that similar language was mentioned here. The voice which comes from God the Father. He is saying, Jesus, my son, is no ordinary prophet. Excuse me, Peter, he's no ordinary prophet. Kagawa mo pa ng tent, tingin mo sa kanya, pare-pareho sila. Anak ko yan, Diyos yan. He is my beloved son. So Peter was rebuked by God the Father. Another thing to notice dito sa verses 7 to 8 is yung clouds. May bumalot po na ulap, no? May bumalot na ulap. Now, when we see clouds enveloping a person or a place sa Old Testament, okay, there is a unique and special revelation na mangyayari sa lugar na yon o sa mga tao na yon. Gaya ng binasa ni Kuya Jack kanina sa Exodus chapter 24, na kung saan nung binigay ni Moses yung commandments, there was a cloud that enveloped him, and ilang beses po lumabas yan sa Old Testament, at ang tawag po sa cloud na yun ay Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory. So if you know someone whose name is Shekinah, galing yun sa Bible, that means Shekinah glory cloud, which means the manifest presence of God. Or they are seeing God through this manifestation, which is yung cloud. So, nung bumaba yung cloud na yon, it was the manifest presence of God. The last time na nakita yon is yung dedication ng temple ni Solomon. And there, naramdaman nila yung ganung presence. Kaya takot hindi sila lalong nakatayo. May boses pa silang narinig. Gaya ng binasa ni Pastor Jacarina sa Exodus 24. Now, not only did God correct Peter about his view about Jesus, but also gave him instructions. So ano yung instruction? Isa lang pala, hindi instructions. Instruction. So ano yung instruction na yon? Listen to Him. Listen, kanino? Kay Jesus. Teka, ba di ba lagi naman nakikinig si Peter at lahat ng mga disciples tuwing nagtuturo si Jesus? Lagi naman sila nakikinig, di ba? Nagtuturo na nga iba sa kanila. Nagpapalayas na rin ng mga demonyo. So nakikinig. Ano yung hindi pinakikinggan ni Peter dito? What were Peter and his friends resisting from Jesus? Naalala nyo? What were they resisting from Jesus? They were resisting that He is the suffering Messiah. They were resisting the cross. They were saying, hindi ikaw, hindi mamamatay ang Messiah kasi ang Messiah namin ay conqueror. And God the Father says, makinig kayo sa Kanya. Yun ang sinasabi niya. He will suffer. He will face the cross. The cross must come first before the crown. Kasi sila, gusto nila crown kagad. And next week, makikita po natin yun. Oh, Jesus, sino ba ang pwede maupo sa kanan at sa kaliwa mo? Yung di ba, nagpapayabangan, nag-uunahan sila kung sino mabibigyan ng parangal. Kasi gusto nila ng crown. They don't want the cross. But Jesus says, cross first, then the crown. Yan ang discussion na nangyayari sa verses 9 to 13. Nung pababa na sila ng bundok, Jesus patiently instructs His disciples at tinatama na naman niya ang kanilang pagkakaunawa sa tunay na nature ng Messiah. Binanggit na naman niya yung cross and yung resurrection. Masakit dito, after nila ma-witness lahat ng mga bagay na narinig ang sinabi ni God the Father, inulit ni Jesus nung pababa sila sa bundok, hindi pa rin nila naintindihan. Siguro, iba sa inyo nang gigigil na sa disciples. Kung ako yun, ako pastor, salagang amen na. Well, mamaya makikita natin who removes the veils ng veil sa ating mga mata. It's not us. Pinapaliwanag din ni Jesus ang prophecy patungkol sa pagdating ni Elijah na kung saan na na-fulfill na through John the Baptist. Na si John the Baptist prepared the coming of the Messiah who was rejected and was beheaded. Yun ang nangyari kay John the Baptist who was coming out in the spirit of Elijah. Pero hindi pa din magets uli ng mga disciples. Na si Elijah ay si John the Baptist at siya mismo yung Messiah na binabanggit. Peter and the disciples were resisting a suffering Messiah. They were resisting a crucified Messiah. They were resisting the cross. Friends, if you have been regularly listening, regularly attending, newly listening, bago lang kayo dito at nakikinig, naririnig ito, or maybe you've heard this message so many times about the cross, are you still resisting the cross? Well, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm growing up in a Christian home. May galing ako, anak ako ng pastor dito sa Pilipinas, so I'm really good. No. It has nothing to do kung pamilya mo ay Kristiyano o marami ka ng mga churches na napuntahan. Ang question is, are you still resisting the cross na thinking na okay ka na sa Panginoon dahil sa iyong reliyon? That's one way of resisting the cross. Kasi meron kang idea kung paano maging tama ang relasyon mo sa Diyos. There's only one way, and that is through the cross of Christ. Do you not believe that the only way for you to be saved, forgiven, and set free from the slavery of sin at maayos ang relasyon sa God, kay God the Father is through a Savior who suffered for you? John the Baptist came and preached the word of salvation, was rejected and killed. Jesus, the greater prophet, also came, but he was sent by God the Father. He did not just preach the word of God faithfully, he lived the word of God because he is the word that became flesh. He is the word of life. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus was rejected by the people that He came to save and suffered brutally on the cross para sa kasalanan natin. But he did not remain dead. He rose on the third day, giving hope, giving salvation, providing reconciliation kay God the Father. Mga kaibigan, kung nandito kayo, first time, at madalas kayo makinig, and you heard this for the first time, or the fourth, fifth, tenth, hundredth time, I urge you, stop resisting the cross. Pagsisihan mo na ang kasalanan mo. At iligay ang iyong pananampalataya kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus para sa kaligtasan. Repent from your sins. Repent from your sins of religiosity. Repent from your sins of self-righteousness. Repent from your sins that I am a good person. Repent from your sins of comparing yourself na thinking mas okay ako sa kanya. And turn to the one who has lived the perfect life and became the perfect sacrifice para sa inyong kasalanan at sa akin. There is an invitation. I don't know your past. I don't know yung situation mo. Maybe you're here and you're desperate. You come here hoping to get something. Siguro, finances or comfort, heartbroken, illness. I don't know. But you are here because God wants to, is trying to unveil, is unveiling your eyes for you to see that your greatest need is the need to be restored. The need to be forgiven. So come to this Jesus who is willing, who is waiting to save. John the Baptist came. Siya yung sinasabi rito na Elijah. God reveals His Son's glory to the disciples to show who He is and will accomplish and to encourage them on light of Jesus' prediction on the cross. So ginawa ni Jesus itong transfiguration na ito in order to know that He is the incarnated Son of God, to encourage ang mga disciples in light sa prediction ni Jesus Christ that He will be crucified. It's there to encourage and strengthen the disciples. E paano naman tayo, Pastor? How about us? What revelation will we get in order to be encouraged and strengthened? As we persevere sa pagsunod sa Panginoon Yesu Kristo, what strength? Saan kami kukuha niyan? Will there be another revelation, friends? We have God's complete and final revelation. His Word, the Bible. This is how we get strengthened and encouraged. Read the Bible. Three quick application points. Number one, read the Bible privately sa quiet times ninyo. When you wake up in the morning or late in the evening or lunch break, open the Bible. Start with the book of Mark, chapter 1. It talks about the story of Jesus. Read for your soul. Second, read the Bible with someone. If you think you need some guide from other people, there are people here across who would love to read the Bible with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's across us. Have you asked someone to read the Bible with you? Why don't you do that tonight? Third, read the Bible corporately. That's the reason why dito sa Crossroads, meron tayong tinatawag na responsive reading. We want God's Word to be the center ng ating church. The transfiguration of Christ was also revealed to confirm Peter's confession. But sadly, sabi sa verse 10, hindi nga nila gano'n naintindihan yung sinasabi ni Jesus na resurrection. Number two and last, a reminder of continued reliance to Christ. Pagkababa ng bundok, napansin ni Jesus na may malaking crowd na nagpupulong at ang mga scribes at yung nine disciples ay nakikipagdebate sa mga scribes na ito. Scribes are lawyers, okay? Binabantayan nila lahat ng mga pangangaral patungkol sa salita ng Diyos sa mga synagogue and in public places. Sila yung nag-check at kapag may nasumpungan sila na hindi nakalinya sa kanilang paniniwala, agad-agad po silang umaaksyon. So in this case, hindi po nabanggit dito kung ano ang pinagdedebatihan, marahil siguro yung may kinalaman ito sa mga disciples na hindi kaya palayasin yung diablo sa batang ito. At dahil doon, nasumpungan ng mga scribes, kita mo, hindi nyo kaya, mali kasi ang tinuturo nyo. So ganun na siguro yung nangyayari. Nakita rin ng mga crowd, oo nga, so may kaguluhan na nangyayari. Pero nung pagdating ni Jesus, nagkaroon sila ng excitement. Nagkaroon sila ng delight, amazement. So natuwa sila, tumakbo lahat sila papunta kay Jesus, kasama ang disciples. Kaya nung nakita nila si Jesus, natuwa sila. Nilapit ng tatay ang kanyang anak na kung saan na po-possess ng demon. At pinaliwanag na itong epileptic na karamdaman ay kagagawa ng masamang espiritu na kung saan na ang dahilan kung bakit hindi siya nakakapagsalita at parang dahan-dahan siyang pinapatay. Yun po yung nangyayari sa batang ito. Humingi siya ng tulong sa mga disciples pero wala naman makatulong sa kanya. So anong response ni Jesus? Verse 19. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. Yung faithless generation dyan, theologians agree that these are the disciples. Throughout sa passages na inaral natin, marahil ay nauunawaan natin ang reaksyon ni Jesus sa kanyang mga disciples. He calls them faithless generation because they've witnessed the miraculous. They have witnessed the impossible. They have heard truth preached. Yet they lack the faith in Christ because of their refusal to believe who He really is and what He will do. They were rejecting it. They were resisting it. Ang inability ng disciples na hindi pagalingin ang bata ay resulta ng kanilang unbelief. Their sin of unbelief led Jesus to harshly call their sin out. Nirebuke sila. He rebuked them. Ginawa ni Jesus dito para hindi sila pahiyain. Okay, ginawa ni Jesus ito hindi para sila sirain, but to call their attention to their sin that they may repent and be restored. If Jesus rebukes sin, we must rebuke sin. Mga kaibigan, may kapatiran ba tayo sa Panginoon na kailangan nating i-rebuke o i-correct? Bilang Christians, the Lord Jesus has entrusted us the ministry of rebuke. Makikita po natin yan sa Matthew chapter 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Alam ko kapag sinabing confront, karamihan sa atin ay agad-agad na umiiwas dito. Naku, mahirap na. Mahingilam tayo. Mahirap na yan. Marami tayong makakaaway niyan. Dahil siguro mayroon na tayong mga masasakit na karanasan o nakumpronta na tayo or baka may nakumpronta na tayo na hindi naging magandang resulta. Kaya minsan pag may nakikita tayo na hindi tama, umiiwas na lang tayo. Hindi lang lamang sa church, pati sa tahanan, hindi po ba? Sa relasyon ng mag-asawa. Sa relasyon ng magulang at anak. Just for the sake of peace, I'll let this slide. Alam ko kapag sinabing confront, parang natatakot na tayo. Sa panahon natin ngayon, na gamit ang social media, mas naging talamak ang komprontahan at pag-rebuke online, even in an unhelpful way. Pero bilang mga anak ng Diyos, we are called to the ministry of rebuke. There's one article ni Kevin DeYoung sa Gospel Coalition, na he gave four arguments kung bakit dapat nating gawin ito bilang mananampalataya. And I'll give it real quick. Bakit kailangan natin mag-rebuke bilang mananampalataya? Number one, it's biblical. Nasa Bible yan, sa Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, si Paul, nung nakita niya si Peter, isa sa mga pillar ng churches na hindi naglalakad ng tama sa harapan ng Diyos, according sa gospel, ni-rebuke kaya. 2 Timothy 3:16 din. It's biblical. So anong warrant natin? The Bible says so. Number two, it's loving. It's loving. Sabi sa Revelation chapter 3 verse 19, those whom I love, Jesus said, I reprove and discipline. Ang dinidisiplina lang ng Panginoon ay yung mga anak niya na mahal niya. So kung mahal mo ang mahal mo sa buhay and you're saying mahal mo siya, you do not want them to continue in sin. You rebuke. Are you rebuking? Or maybe, brothers and sisters, how are you responding when someone rebukes you? Third, it protects. Rebuke protects you from hurting others. Rebuke protects them from hurting others as well. Okay? So, it also protects the flock ng church from false teacher. Kapag may nagtuturo na mali, then we need as a church to rebuke. Fourth, it restores. Yun naman po ang goal ng pag-rebuke or discipline. Like any kind of discipline, it always should lead to restoration. Loving rebuke is not supposed to be like a gunshot. Gusto ko yung sinabi niya rito eh. Okay, let me read that again. Loving rebuke is not supposed to be like a gunshot, but like a flu shot or COVID shot. It may hurt, but the goal is to help you and get healthy. And you look at James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. Sino sa mga kakilala niyo ngayon who needs a flu shot? I'm not talking about literally, no? I'm talking about spiritually. The flu shot of correction. It may hurt, but that will help you and that person and yourself. And so Jesus calls his disciples out because of their sin of unbelief. So verses 20 to 22, nung dinala ang demon-possessed boy kay Jesus at nung nakita niya si Jesus, agad-agad ito nagpupumiglas at naging bayolente. Isang palatandaan na kilalang-kilala ng mga demonyo kung sino si Jesus in contrast sa mga disciples. Pagkatapos ipaliwanag ng ama yung kondisyon ng bata, eto ang sinabi ni Jesus Christ, so verses 22 to 24, eto sabi ng mama, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Ang pananampalataya ng tatay na ito, o yung faith ng tatay na ito, ay tunay na pananampalataya. Dahil naniniwala siyang kayang pagalingin siya ni Jesus, yung anak niya, kaya nga niya nilapit. Okay? Ngunit ang kanyang faith o pananampalataya ay masasabing mahina or weak faith. Or hindi perfect dahil sa nabanggit nga na, if you can, kung kaya mo. And yet humbly confess and ask Jesus to help his unbelief. He declares to trust Jesus but also acknowledges that he has doubts. Di ba parang ganun din tayo? Yes, Lord, nagkitiwala ko pero medyo kinakabahan pa rin ako eh. Jesus honors, here's the point, Jesus honors his imperfect faith. At paano mo nasabi, Pastor, na in-honor ni Jesus yung kanyang imperfect faith? Kasi pinagaling niya. At makikita yun sa verse 25. Magandang tinuturo nito sa atin, mga kapatid, patungkol sa faith. Ang effectiveness ng faith ay hindi nasusukat sa lakas o hina ng iyong pananampalataya. Okay? Or ng faith. Kung hindi sa lakas ng object ng ating faith. Sino ang object ng ating faith? Si Jesus. According kay Don Carson, I quote him in the context of him sharing yung faith ng one who trusts Jesus for salvation. Ito ang sinabi niya. It's not the intensity of our faith, but the object of our faith that saves. So mga kapatid sa Panginoon, o mga kaibigan, kailangan po natin mag-ingat sa mga nagsasabi na gagaling ang iyong karamdaman, mawawala yung sakit na yan, basta sumampalataya ka lang. Basta tibayin mo lang. E paano kung hindi kumaling? Kasi mahina ang faith mo. Dapat lakasan mo yung faith mo, gagaling yan. I can even go as far as saying, ayaman ka, magiging matagumpay ka, basta may faith ka lang. Ano po masasabi natin dito? But yes, we must believe, we must have faith that God can heal us or heal our loved ones through the means of grace, hospital, gamot, and also through supernatural means. Kaya gawin ng Panginoon yan. But faith also means that you are going to trust God even though He doesn't answer your prayer. Now that's faith. Pastor, paano yung magtutuloy ko pa ba yung pray? Nagumaling itong tatay ko na ilang taon na nag-ano sa cancer. Na yung aking mga magulang sa Pilipinas na may karamdaman ngayon, kinakabahan ako tapos hindi ako makauwi. Titigilan ko na ba ang panalangin? Don't. Pray in faith. Hindi natin sinasabing don't pray in faith. Because God, and I may sound a little bit contradicting sa sinasabi ko, no? God will heal them. And I'm quoting someone from my article na sinabi niya 100% naniniwala siya that God will heal for those who put their faith in Jesus. Is that figurative? No, literal. Heal. There are three ways. Let me define yung healing in three ways. One, some will be healed immediately, instantly. And we have witnessed that. Praise God. 100% gumaling. Because He's a compassionate God. He doesn't change. Noon at ngayon. Second, some will be healed eventually. And God uses the means of grace na ang tawag na waiting. Some of them are called to wait. And to wait, gaano katagal? We don't know. 3 times I prayed that God would heal me. Sabi ni Paul, but my grace is sufficient for you. So you wait. It produces sanctification. So some will be healed eventually. And third, all will be healed ultimately in the coming kingdom of God. So yes, God would heal. Hindi lang natin alam sa anong pamamaraan ayon sa kalooban niya. So verse 28, tinanong privately ng mga disciples si Jesus kung bakit di nila mapalayas ang demonyo sa bata. Jesus said sa verse 28, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Ano sinasabi ni Jesus dito? Hindi po sinasabi ni Jesus dito na may demonyo na kung saan kaya mong palayasin kahit mag-pray ka, at may mga demonyo na hindi mo mapapalayas pag hindi ka nag-pray. Yung ba yung sinasabi ni Jesus? Hindi yun ang sinasabi niya rito. Ang problem ng mga disciples, they were relying on their own abilities, their own wisdom and strength magpalayas ang demonyo. Hindi porke binigyan sila ng Panginoon ng authority to cast out demons sa chapter 6, verse 7, ay hindi na nila kailangan si Jesus. Does that make sense? They think that they can cast out demons without Jesus. Followers of Christ must rely on God's power in order to defeat the enemy. Jesus is reminding them that they cannot fight the enemy by themselves. Prayer is a posture of reliance, of humility to God in everything. When we pray, we humble ourselves before Him, acknowledging that apart from Him, we cannot do anything. Yun po ang panalangin. Brothers and sisters, do not fight sin by your own wits, by your own experiences, strength, and ability. Do not fight sin alone. Do not fight sin dahil nahihiya kang sabihin sa iba, kaya I will fight this alone. Don't do that. You cannot live the Christian life as a parent, as a single mother, as an employee, as a student serving in the ministry by yourself. You need Jesus. We need Jesus in every aspect of our lives. We need His strength. He's our strength. He's our motivation, our identity, our meaning in life, our security, our confidence, our desire, our ultimate joy. Let me end here. Remember the word reliance. Reliance. Kung meron kayo uwi, yan yung word. Rely on God's word. Living the Christian life, fighting sin, remember, rely on God's word. Read God's word as mentioned kanina. Second, rely on God's Spirit. Rely on God's Spirit. Di natin kaya ito mag-isa. You know you tried, you failed. I failed. And number 3 and last, rely on God's people. We need to help one another. That's why nandito ang church. We need God's people in order to grow and mature and to display God's glory. Display God's glory, not in a mountain, on a mountain, but through the local church, displaying God's glory to the people outside so that they would see Jesus and see Him as attractive and beautiful and satisfying. A follower of Jesus constantly looks to and relies on Christ in everything. Let's pray. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus, Father. Your Son Jesus, whom you are well pleased. And because Jesus has saved us on that cross, we are now pleasing sa harapan ninyo. All of our good deeds are no longer filthy rags. And we're thankful. Oh Father, we pray for families, brothers and sisters who are represented here. May we display God's glory in our language, in our decision-making, in our attitudes, in our responses. When we are caught in stressful and even sickness, or in pain, help us to respond. That is something that is honoring and glorifying sa harapan ninyo, that people would see that I want and see and say, I want your Jesus. Father, I pray also for those who heard the gospel. Would you call them to yourself? Save them. Take away the veil from their eyes so that they would see Jesus as the Messiah, the King, who suffered, died, and was risen for them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.